arrival of the 230 women freshmen in the class of 1974, Yale now had 800 women undergraduates in all. But given the 4,000 men, it was still a 5-to-1 ratio. Over in the co-education office, Elga Wasserman was drumming her fingers. Kingman Brewster had still not responded to her May 26th letter conveying the news that the co-education committee had voted against his 1,000-man quota. He had made no comment on the final co-education report she sent afterward. Wasserman had stepped well over the line with that report, but she was not prepared to go one step further and take it public before Brewster responded. As a result, few at Yale knew of the committee's stance on Yale's gender quotas, and no one had seen the damning data in Appendix E on the near absence of women faculty at Yale. All was on hold until Brewster acted. At least the final steps of publishing Sex and the Yale Student had gone well. The initial run was 10,000 copies, 5,000 for Yale's undergraduates and 5,000 for Yale faculty, administrators, and graduate students. The students on the Human Sexuality Committee had needed a place to store the booklets once the Yale University Press finished printing them, and so now the boxes of Sex and the Yale Student were stacked in Wasserman's office. She was happy to help. The booklets were not there for long, however. The committee began distributing them on September 10th, and within 2 weeks, they ran out, and Yale had none left to send the 50 different campuses that sought copies for their own students. Your interest in Yale's new sex booklet is shared by so many others that we are currently out of copies, Wasserman wrote the Dean of Admissions at Skidmore College. A second printing was ordered. Classes that fall started September 17th, but a different beginning caught some students' attention. Flyers advertising the sisterhood's first meeting of the year were papered all over campus. Vanderbilt Lounge, September 21st, 7:30 p.m. By the time the meeting started, 70 women students filled the room, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, nearly 5 times as many as the meetings last spring. It was a huge number of women, said Patty Mintz of Massachusetts, who was now a sophomore. It felt like a quarter to a third of the women in the school. The meeting began with an introduction by one of the sisterhood veterans, and then the students went around the room, each saying why she had come and what she hoped the sisterhood might accomplish. The older girls talked about how isolated they had felt in their first year at Yale, how hard it had been to meet other women. The freshmen in the class of 1974 had only been there a week, but they were already realizing the challenge. It was one thing to read about the ratio before coming, and quite another to experience it firsthand. The old campus quadrangle that held all the freshmen was as long as 2 city blocks. The women were at the end of the quadrangle in Vanderbilt Hall, but every other dorm on the old campus was filled with the freshman men. Patty Mintz listened carefully as each student at the sisterhood meeting spoke. She was struck by how so many had the same goals. After a year at Yale, she knew how many differences divided Yale women, yet that night, there was so much coherence and unity, even though we were very different people. 40 years later, Patty would look back on that meeting and say, "It was really one of the 5 most powerful experiences in my life." The group was enthusiastic about continuing the sisterhood's consciousness-raising sessions, but the girls were also impatient for change. Most Yale men believed that co-education is something that happens to women, one sophomore woman observed later that year. It was long overdue for co-education to happen to Yale. Students brought up the need for more women's studies courses. Some observed how they had spent a whole year at Yale without being taught by a single woman professor. Others mentioned the lack of decent career guidance for women, the long waits to get an appointment with the Sorrells at the Yale Sex Counseling Service, the need for more than one self-defense class. Subcommittees were formed to take action. Of all the issues raised by the girls in Vanderbilt Hall that night, the one they ranked highest was this one: Yale's gender quotas in admissions. Until that changed, women students would remain a small minority at Yale, and thus robbed of a voice in every other issue that mattered. The sisterhood for